Okay. Well, thank you for your patience. And we are continuing in 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 5. And Communion Sunday is a good time for us to be looking at this portion of the passage. Let me read three verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 4, 5, and 6. Oh, and 7. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And as we look at this passage, there's a couple of things I want us to focus on, because again, we will not get everything we can get out of this passage, but we want to capture a couple of things. And we won't finish in one Sunday, but you're totally used to that. And here's the truth that he's putting in front of us, where he's talking about younger men being subject to the elder. And we have plenty of other passages in Scripture we could go to where he talks about you older men, teach the younger, older women, teach the younger women. So there's a pattern to growth in the body of Christ that means younger men and younger women are seeking the input and the teaching and the leadership, the mentorship, the accountability with those that are stronger or further along in the faith. This is not about age. This is about your walk with God, that you're looking for others. And again, even though it's addressed right here to you younger men, the principle applies to all of us. Every single one of us gets to be asking, is there someone I can include in my life, someone that is in my circle of fellowship that I can look to keep challenging me and mentoring me for growth? Now, that's true for, I just heard somebody say this, that's true in Scripture where we see the lives of men and women in Scripture, and that there's always a Paul in your life. Some of you have heard this. There's always a Paul, there's always a Barnabas, and there's always a Timothy. And fortunately, we come with our own Timothy, so we're one third of it's already done. But that we're looking for the fact that I want somebody who's going to teach me. I want somebody that I'm in partnership with for my growth. And then I want somebody that I'm teaching, somebody that I'm encouraging, somebody that I'm helping along. So that hierarchy is a natural spiritual hierarchy that I recognize there's always somebody who could be encouraging me if my heart is open and I'm pursuing that encouragement. There's always somebody that God has provided to stand with me. So I hope that none of us just look at that as an interesting concept and go, that's an interesting concept, or even that's a concept I agree with, but that we're all challenged in asking, who are those people in my life? Who is my Paul? Who is my Barnabas? Who is my Timothy? And that there's someone we're looking for or praying about. And it doesn't mean that at any one point in my life, all three are just readily available, but that I keep my heart open and I keep my commitment focused on, I want all those layers. I know I've shared this story with you before, but it was amazing to me that a young couple that had just accepted Christ out of an incredible life of drunkenness and partying and bar hopping, that as soon as they were saved, they started looking for Timothys. So they were definitely coming to our church and in various with men and women. They were definitely accepting Paul into their life. They were definitely looking for people to teach them and disciple them. But they were immediately in fellowship with other believers who were studying the Word. So they were definitely making themselves available for the Barnabas relationships. But having just gotten saved, having just entered the kingdom of God, they were already passionately looking for other people that they could find and just say, you know what? I know something you don't know, and I want to pass it on to you. And so while the husband and I would meet for Bible studies, and I don't remember who the wife was meeting with, we would meet and we would mentor. Almost every discussion, He would say, oh, good, I need to get this question answered because I'm helping Bob or I'm helping Jim or I'm helping Bill. There was something he immediately wanted to pass on to somebody who was struggling who had also just accepted Christ. So I would encourage you, talk that over with God. Don't just, again, put it on the shelf as an interesting idea or even an idea you agree with, but to be pondering. Now, for some of you who are very young, that might be your own brother or sister. And wouldn't that be cruel of God to have you be the encourager for a little brother or sister? Yeah. But instead, what I would encourage you to do is that you flip that around and you see it as a majestic calling. That you recognize, Father, if the only person in my immediate circle is a younger brother or younger sister, I want to be available that I'm going to pray for them, I'm going to encourage them, I'm going to actually look for ways where I see them in a moment of decision where I could speak something truthful into their life that will actually help that younger brother or sister. And that the oldest among us, I won't ask for hands, but that the oldest among us would also be saying, I want to look to someone who's teaching me, I want to look to someone I'm helping, and I want to make sure that I'm in fellowship with others that are fighting with me as fellow warriors. So I remember a church I was attending well, it doesn't matter where I was attending it. But many years ago, and a gentleman stood up on Sunday morning, and we had sort of a sharing time, and he stood up to share that he was now retiring. And I don't remember how old he was, 65, 70, whatever. He stood up to share that he was retiring, and then he said, so I'm pulling out of the Bible studies, and I'm pulling out of the Sunday school class I teach, and I'm pulling. And so basically, he was meaning, not only am I retiring from a job, I'm retiring from everything, including the body of Christ. And he did it. He meant it. He just showed up on church on Sundays, and part of the tragedy of that for a believer is if you've been growing for decades, you were at your best moment of life to have truth to pass on to somebody. So there is no retirement in the body of Christ. There's no withdrawing because now you're too old. And you may have to change the way you do it. So one young lady in her 90s that I worked with in counseling, she had to change it so that things that she had gone and done in a car to encourage and nourish people, she now had to do from her bed in terms of prayer and phone calls. But she recognized, truthfully, I'm not done. If I'm still here on planet Earth, it's not just about me. It is about me in the sense that God has people to bless me and encourage me and teach me. But it's still about the Holy Spirit working through me to bless and encourage someone else. So this principle given to the younger man, is for every single one of us to look for those qualities of relationship that provide input, that provide opportunity for support and encouragement, provide opportunity that I'm investing in someone else's spiritual growth. And then he goes on to say this, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And we've talked about this before, but this word humility, pardon, we pause for technical difficulties. Is that I see my proper place in the universe. And again, a lot of times the world uses the word humility for someone who is subservient or someone who considers themselves not quite as valuable as you or as valuable as somebody else. They're sort of almost ashamed to exist. Yeah. That's not what biblical humility is. And one of the best ways we know that is because humility is assigned to Jesus Christ. So Jesus spoke incredible things about himself because they were true about his identity and about his place in the universe. So actually, let me add that proper place and identity. So now, here's the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit challenging the body of Christ, that you and I learn our proper place and identity in relationship to this body. So let's go to a few other passages. The one that Annie read for us just this morning. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. And again, a passage that many of you are very familiar with. And putting it in context where Paul says, I really implore you. So it's a strong word. Basically what he's saying is, I am on my knees begging you to pay attention to this. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one God, one Father. So he's really saying this humility, and let me put this concept up there. This humility makes sense in the context of relationships, one another. And whenever we see the phrase in the New Testament, one another, it carries with it in the Greek the concept that it's a two-way street. So when he's saying love one another, he's saying you love him while he loves you. You share love with her while she shares love with you. So this humility thing is a two-way street. It's always meant to be a two-way street in the body of Christ that we're comprehending this. Father, I need to learn my place, my identity in relationship to you human beings in front of me, while you're learning the wisdom of your place in the universe and your identity in the universe as a son or daughter of God in relationship to me, in relationship to each other, and that nobody is exempt. The one another means no believer is exempt from this. I said it last week, but I'll say it again this week. There are no lone rangers in the body of Christ. There can't be. And in fact, continuing in this passage of Ephesians 4, after he's laid all this out about humility and patience and tolerance and preserving the unity in one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, he goes on to this. All of this dropped down to verse 14. As a result of us learning how to do all this and operate with these various purposes and gifts and identities within the body of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So God is saying, different than the world's view of humility. The world's view of humility is someone who goes, none for me, thanks. Oh, no, we'll do it the way you want it. And there can be an aspect of that in our humility, but that's not the limit of humility. This humility means I really comprehend my worth in your life. I really comprehend that my life is intrinsically connected to how the Holy Spirit has gifted you to pour something into my life. And I even in agreement that God has equipped by the pouring of his Spirit into me something that will enrich your life. And if I'm really going to comprehend this and you're going to comprehend it with me and we're going to grow in that and comprehend that together, then here's the outcome. We grow into the maturity of Christ. And so our culture is all about self. Our culture is all about isolation. And our culture has a lot of fake intimacy and fake unity. God's talking about something supernatural. And I'll do a little aside here. Mariah shared her addiction overcoming choice to pull away a little bit from Facebook. Completely. Okay. And here's the wisdom. Here's part of the wisdom behind that. Facebook is not evil. But anything I get addicted to that doesn't flow from the Holy Spirit becomes destructive for me. Any tool, any opportunity, any habit that I become addicted to, and now it robs me of other things that are a treasure, then it becomes destructive for me. So I would encourage you, doing a little aside here on Facebook, I would encourage you, if you recognize, I can't get through the day without Facebook. Why? The answer to the why might mean time to quit Facebook. But that might be true of a lot of things in our lives. I can't get through the day without video games. I can't get through the day without more money. I can't get through the day without more applause. I can't get through the day without more of something. Then I have to ask, what role has that thing come to play in my life where I am not comprehending my role, my identity, my purposes, my involvement in the body of Christ and the universal purposes of God, where this thing has become an addiction? And our culture, well, let's forget our culture, our flesh right here in this room doesn't want to hear that. That we want the freedom to indulge in an addiction while we actually still love God, but where we don't want him threatening that addiction. So that has to be part of the question. Has something become so important to me that I look to it for things that God wants to do personally? Now, again, I'm not picking on Facebook, but I see this a lot. I'm going to encourage you as the body of Christ, the people sitting in this room, please, believers, don't use Facebook to test friendship. Please do not use Facebook to test friendship. So I frequently see this, and I bet anybody on Facebook here has seen it too. Some of you aren't on Facebook, and right now you're rejoicing at your freedom from that addiction. But for those who are on Facebook, I know you see this every now and then, where somebody will post something, and they'll say, well, I'm going to find out who my real friends are. What? How are you going to find that out? Well, see, I'm going to post something right here, and if you're my real friend, copy this and paste it to your page, and then at the end of this process, I'll see that 37 people read my whole post and posted it or pasted it or whatever, and now I have tested friendships and found out.
Or it says, if you're not ashamed of Jesus, repost this, and he who denies me before my...
Right. Now, every believer better repost that thing. So, please don't misuse Facebook. If it's a good way to be connected to friends and see the grandkids' pictures or, you know, whatever, absolutely enjoy it as a tool of blessing. Please never descend to the absolute foolishness of using Facebook as a test for friendship. Because here's part of what it means. It means everybody who didn't read that post has now been proven to not be your friend. Or everybody who read the first part and then said, oh, I'm late for that appointment, and they got up and left, has now just been proven to not be your friend. So your wisdom gets to be, I use Facebook as a tool. I don't use it to feed my ego. I don't use it to feed nourishment of relationship, because I'm designed by God to be in love relationships with real people. And I'm going to invest in their lives, and they're going to invest in my life. And I will enjoy Facebook. I don't know. Can you enjoy Twitter? I don't know. So there might be other things that are available electronically nowadays that weren't even in existence 10, 15, 20 years ago that can be wonderful tools for connection with real love relationships, but they cannot be a substitute for real love relationships. So that gets to be part of our wisdom is, am I relating to real people in sacrificial love, investment, speaking the truth? Do I not let Facebook or any other electronic thing pull me away from treasuring God and having time in my day for God, or treasuring people and having time in my day for people? Now, if some of you disagree with me, feel free to come up and talk about it. But this is not about, again, that the tool is evil, but if we've let it carry out destructive purposes in our life, then we may have to reevaluate its place and its weight, its authority. Didn't hear a lot of amens. But he goes on here, again, back to 1 Peter, with humility toward one another. And actually, we could go to several passages where he talks about humility, and it's always with this. So You can look these up if you want. We have it in Ephesians 4, 2 that we just read, in Philippians 2, 3, and Colossians 3, 12, that he always puts humility in the context of one another relationships. So that I get to comprehend real character, the character of Jesus Christ, is proven not by how I feel and what I do in isolation when I'm just in my ivory tower or even when I'm in my prayer closet. This quality is proven by how I relate to you and how you relate to me and how we relate to one another, that we're comprehending that the humility of Christ was about relationship. So when it calls Jesus humble, that Jesus understood that here on the planet as a man, he was subservient to the Father's purposes. He said, I always do the things, in John 8, 29, I always do the things that please my Father. So he understood this father-son relationship means, here's my proper place in the universe, I please the Father. And then he said to the disciples, I no longer call you servants. Now, because of what I'm getting ready to do, what I'm going to accomplish, now I call you friends. That's amazing. That the God of the universe here is, as God the Son on planet Earth said, for those who put their faith in me, you're not just my servants. You are servants, but you're more than that. I'm lifting you up and I'm saying now, here's your proper place in the universe with me, that we get to call Jesus Christ our true friend because he calls us true friends. And I don't know where that fits in your prayer life or where that fits in your thinking, but I would encourage you, ponder that some. That here's Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you. We just celebrated his death this morning. That Jesus now calls you his friend if you've put your faith in him. He enjoys you. He likes hanging out with you. And it's stronger than he clicked like. He clicked treasuring. He clicked beloved. He clicked I will die for you. That all kinds of things that go way past a superficialness to that. Jesus said, I want you to comprehend the nature of this love relationship that I've chosen with you and that you enjoy it back. And so that gets to be part of our humility, as I do not want to shrink away from claiming friendship with Jesus Christ. I do not want to shrink away from claiming sonship, that I am a son or daughter of God because of Christ. That is my proper place in the universe. It is a completely false view of humility to think, well, you guys are good enough to be sons and daughters of God, but not me. I'm not that good. That means I'm actually not believing the Father that Jesus is the one who won that for me. He won it for me. And now my proper place in the universe is to treasure being a son of God. Now he goes on to say this in verse 6. Well, actually, let me finish with 5 first. For he says, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud. So here he's talking to believers. He's not talking to heathen. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter to believers, and he reminds us of this truth. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives good gifts to the humble. And so part of our wisdom is the recognition that pride, in this sense, is being presented as the opposite of humility. And pride means, now I'm thinking I'm enough by myself. Pride means I'm now thinking I don't need you. And so true humility again means the correction for my pride is to recognize I need the body of Christ. So again, in real practical terms, so pause for a minute, even if you're really listening, pause for a minute and ask, where am I avoiding genuine connection, or how am I avoiding genuine connection with the full family of God that's available to me? How am I doing that? I could be so busy that it seems like I have no choice but to avoid it. Then I may have to consult the Holy Spirit and ask, Father, is all my busyness your plan? Or have I let so many things come into my life that I'm now too busy to live your plan? So am I so busy that I don't have time for the body of Christ? Or, Father, am I so insecure? do I believe I have nothing to offer? And I think there's more Christians who suffer with that than the normal view of pride. So we normally think of pride as someone who thinks in arrogance that they're better. But this is still a version of pride that says, I believe my own judgment more than the judgment of God. So when God tells me I'm qualified to be connected to you, I think he's wrong. Because I know that I'm not that good. I know I'm not that worthy. I know I have nothing to offer. I actually know more than God about this. That's pride, to believe that my thoughts, my opinions, my conclusions have authority over the heart and mind of God. So if you believe you're not worthy, you believe you're not qualified, you believe you've not yet measured up enough to deserve connection to the body of Christ, or that you do not have any gifting or contribution to offer into the body of Christ, I would encourage you, challenge that right now by saying, Father, I want to give up believing my own thoughts more than your thoughts. I want to oppose my own thinking so that I really start in gratitude. I start to say, Father, this is amazing, but you've said I am worth being connected to the body of Christ. You've said I am gifted with something to contribute. So even if some sense that you don't have much to contribute, I think if I gave all of you a truth pill, and I'm not going to do it, we didn't slip something into the, no. But if you were asked right now and you had to tell the truth, how many of you often feel as if you have nothing valuable to contribute to other Christians? And again, don't need a show of hands, but I bet if you took that truth pill, and we did do a show of hands, many of you would raise your hands. Many of you would say, well, yeah, I know that's not really biblically true, but yeah, that's how I feel a lot of times. That is how I feel a lot of times. I have nothing valuable to contribute. And in that moment of believing that, that voice of doubt, that voice of insecurity and unworthiness has more authority than the voice of God, who just said in the passages we read, you are gifted, called, and qualified, because he's distributed that to each one of us. So I would encourage you, if you're in that group that sometimes doubts your value to the body of Christ, make a plan with God. Father, I want to start reading more of your word that tells me I'm qualified so that I have fresh, frequent ammunition to challenge that thinking and determine that I'm going to get more involved in the lives of other believers. Not because I know where that's going. I might not have any clue where you're going to take that. But in obedience and faith and trust that you know better than my doubts and insecurities, I just want to show up and be available. And then he goes on to say this. In verse 6, therefore, given that all these things are true, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. So that, again, that humility before God means I'm just recognizing my proper place with God. I'm not thinking God hates me or that I'm scum. I'm not humbling myself under God because I'm trash and I'm nothing. I'm humbling myself under God because I recognize my proper place. I am a sinner saved by the incredible love and the treasuring of this God, and he is the only one who designed me, and he is the only one with the wisdom to lead me in life. So I want to humble myself under his leadership so that his purposes can get accomplished in me. So now, humility in relationship to you is now different in this. Now my humility to him is to recognize you're the only one qualified to be my Lord. So all of you who belong to Christ, you are qualified to invest in my life. You are qualified to pray for me, to give me gifts. But you are gifted by the Holy Spirit to invest in my life. I am gifted by the Holy Spirit to invest in yours. And each of you gifted and investing, gifted to invest in each other's lives. So again, the challenge is, how am I doing that? And it does not have to look the same. And it doesn't have to have an official title. And it doesn't have to happen on Sunday morning. But that every single one of us is recognizing, Father, I'm available. But now when we look to him, now the humility is, you are my Lord. You get to direct things. You get to lead things. But he gives us this promise. There is a wisdom to choosing the lordship of God. Oh, man. I know I'm meddling with people's lives now. But here's one way to examine the strength of lordship in Jesus, of Jesus in our lives. When I read a scripture that clearly tells me to change something in my life, what do I do? What do I do? When I read a passage that challenges an attitude I have in my life, that challenges a habit I have in my life, when I read a passage of scripture or see a quality in Jesus Christ that challenges some priority I have in my life, what do I do? And here's a lordship doing in that moment. The lordship doing doesn't mean I now flip a switch and by golly, Jesus, this is miraculous, but I will never think or do that thing again. That's not normally going to work for most of us. But what's available to every single one of us is to say, Father, I see what you just said. Lord Jesus, my living God and Savior, I see what you just said. That's now a shared agenda between us. So if I have to change this attitude, if I have to change this habit, if I have to change this way of doing things, if I have to change this way of prioritizing things, let's start. Let's get to it. And we addressed this a few Sundays ago, but that means I start gathering truth. Because if God said it once, the odds are good. If he wants to change it, he probably talks about it quite a few times in Scripture, and that I gather ammunition to meditate on and to ponder and to see it from different angles and say, Father, it is really clear that you want me to change this. And instead of avoiding it, I'm going to gather more truth of your voice. I want to hear your voice stronger, not dimmer. So if I read one passage and it challenges something me and I don't like that, probably the best evidence that I don't like it is I don't go hunt for more. But if there is a humble spirit to the teaching of God, that means, Father, I heard you. Now I'm going to go gather more of what your voice says about this. So actually seek to put that into practice. Now, here's what I know about everybody in the room. Everybody in the room is going to sin this week. Everybody in the room, if you're in the Word, everybody in the room will bump into some passage of Scripture that shows me a gap between where I am and God, where God wants me to be. And so the challenge is when I see that gap, when I see some area of my life where I'm not yet into that fullness of maturity that Annie read for us this morning, will I now go gather more Scripture to feed my growth in that area? So that's going to look like actual steps. That's going to look like actual behavior. That's going to look like actual time in a concordance or actual time in conversation with somebody or actual question with another believer. Do you know any other passages of Scripture that talk about this area? Why? Well, because I think God wants me to grow in that area and I'm gathering truth. And that gets to be part of the faithfulness of the body of Christ, that you share with somebody what you're growing in. And they're going to pray for you now. And they may be going about their week and they see another passage or they hear another sermon on the radio or whatever, or they just see something on a billboard and it sparks a thought of how they can contribute truth into your life. Because now you're enlisting the body of Christ to be with you in that growth. You're not operating like a lone ranger. So that recognition that if I'm pursuing humility with God, it means his voice has authority for me, and I pursue the listening of his voice. I don't just let it happen by accident. I'm in the Word frequently, and then when he points something out to me, when he's clearly talking to something in my life, I gather more of what his voice says. Envision what that would look like this week. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you that you have designed us for love relationships. It's literally our design, Father. And when we function outside that design, misery always ensues one way or another. And Father, it even develops if we're if we're avoiding love relationship for fun and entertaining reasons, but we're missing the truth. That your heart's longing is that we would treasure the truest things. That we would be wise enough as sons and daughters of God to treasure the supernatural things you're getting done through this fellowship of believers. Father, you have a vision in mind. You see me and you see each one of us mature in Christ. And that if we treasure that vision with you, Father, that if we long for that same outcome, that we be mature into the fullness of Christ, that then we're wise enough and humble enough to see our place and our identity in the body as a valuable place, as an incredible identity. That we invest in other lives and we choose and allow them to invest in us. Father, your word is really clear. You don't want us even trying to operate in isolation. And Father, we also thank you for this, that you are worthy of being our Lord because of your love, because of your wisdom, because you are the true and the living God who designed us, who created this universe and spoke it into being. You're now the smartest thing for us to choose. And Father, here's this amazing thing that in the 21st century, with science and technology racing ahead, that here's a group of people meeting in a room to still worship and praise Jesus Christ. What an amazing miracle that is, Father. Thank you that we get to be the body of Christ and we get to choose you and call you as Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.